Hello, my name is Steve Wilbraham, and I'm the senior pastor of Congregational Presbyterian Church. We are glad to offer these audio sermons for our congregation and for those interested in learning more about our church and the Christian faith. We invite you to visit us, to meet our pastors and members, and to join us in the journey of faith. The mission of our church is to know Christ, to become like Christ, and to share Christ. Now, on to the sermon.
When Lori and I were engaged to be married, we met regularly with a Christian couple, and we were involved with them in premarital counseling. And one of the things that I remember them saying to us is that marriage is not a 50-50 proposition. Marriage is not about you, Steve, kind of going halfway, and then Lori kind of meets you halfway, and you kind of figure out a way to compromise and kind of make things work. But you're kind of holding back a little bit of yourself. You're not sure that you want to give all of yourself. For marriage to work, they told us, you need to be willing to be 100% committed to the other person. Not to marriage just as an idea, but the reality of marriage, which is you are in a relationship with someone. And this kind of relationship, this kind of an everlasting relationship, till death do us part relationship, requires you to be willing to give it all. Not sitting back and waiting to see what the other person is going to do before you are willing to step forward. But to say that because you love this person, you are committed to them and you desire for them to know that commitment, that your heart is fully and completely focused upon them. That's not easy. Always, they told us, there are times that you're going to have to give up things that you might want, that you might want to do, a decision that you might want to make in favor of the other. But ultimately, that's what you're going to have to do if you want to have the kind of marriage that is strong and that lasts and that is modeled after what God desires for us in our relationship with each other in the marriage between a man and a woman. Today, we are going to be hearing more of the words of Jesus. And these particular words focus on our relationship with Him. It focuses on what it means to be in relationship with Jesus Christ. And how sometimes just simply the words that we speak and our outward actions are not necessarily enough. It really asks each one of us today, am I all in my relationship with Jesus Christ? Am I willing to give 100% to Him? Or am I holding back? We have been in the Sermon on the Mount these last several months, and today we return there. We are in Matthew chapter 7, verses 21 to 23. And in these verses, we will hear perhaps some of the scariest or most haunting words that Jesus speaks in all the Gospels, the words, I never knew you. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Not everyone who calls out to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father in heaven will enter. On judgment day, many will say to me, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name and cast out demons in your name and performed many miracles in your name. But I will reply, I never knew you. Get away from me, you who break God's laws. I never knew you. What haunting words to consider. When Jesus says, I never knew you, of course, he's not talking about knowing about us. He's God. He knows everything, including each one of us, very, very well. He knows everything there is to know about us. He knows everything we say. He knows everything we do. And he knows our heart. He knows our commitments. He knows our loyalties. And while we may be all able to kind of wear a mask with other people, outwardly saying and doing things to make them think that we're a certain kind of person on the inside, we can't do that with Jesus. He knows what goes on within each one of us. When Jesus, in these verses, is saying, I never knew you, he is speaking to the knowledge of our heart, of who we are within, and the kind of commitment or non-commitment we have actually made to a relationship with him. For you see, Jesus in his relationship with us has already gone all in. He died on a cross for you and for me. He gave his life for us. And his heavenly Father is all in. He loves each one of us so much that he was willing to send his only Son into the world to be shamed, to be mocked, to be disbelieved, to be tortured, and to be killed by those who refused to believe in their heavenly Father or believe in the Son that he sent. God is all in his relationship with us as human beings in giving us his Holy Spirit to live within us and to guide us and to grow us if our commitment to him is wholehearted, 100%. When Lori and I were first dating, when we first were getting to know each other, our relationship was much more of that 50-50 that's kind of appropriate to dating. You're kind of figuring each other out. I liked Lori, and so I wanted to show her my best side. She certainly didn't know everything about me at the beginning. I kind of got to control a little bit what I was going to show her and what I wasn't going to show her and what I was going to commit to her and what I wasn't going to commit to her. Because after all, we're just dating. We're just kind of trying each other out. We're just kind of seeing, is this going to go anywhere? What does this mean? Is there anything here other than just enjoying being together? Kind of surfacey stuff, which is fun, enjoyable, good, but not very deep. But then as time went on and it became more and more apparent that this relationship was going somewhere beyond a dating relationship, a part of what we both realized was required was a willingness to give more of ourselves to each other. And not necessarily all good things. And as that wedding day drew closer and closer after we had entered into an engagement, the reality, again, of what this couple helped us to see, the commitment that we're going to make on that wedding day when we say, I do, cannot just be words, cannot just be kind of dressed up looking really nice, having people smiling, mothers crying, and all of that. There had to be something really deep within each one of us for the other person if this was going to not only be true, I do until death do us part, I do commit these things to you, I will be this to you. I don't remember, I'm not surprised that the pastor didn't read some of that same passage from 1 Corinthians 13 that Molly shared with the children. Love is kind, love is gentle, love doesn't keep a record of wrongs. I'm supposed to do all that now with Lori? Yes, you are, Steve. Are you just going to say I do, or will you do it? Move from a 50-50 dating, kind of figuring each other out, to 100% commitment. And the problem that I think Jesus is pointing out here, and if you look at the context in Matthew chapter 7, if you have been reading along in the Bible reading plan, you will see that this is actually the third of four little sections where Jesus talks about a commitment. Early in the chapter, he says there's a narrow way and there's a wide way. Which way are you going to take? Then he says there's good fruit and there's bad fruit. What kind of fruit does your tree produce, if you will? What is the fruit of your life? Then he says here, there will be those that I will say, I never knew you. And as we'll see next Sunday, the fourth of these four little vignettes in Matthew chapter 7, we have the well-known story of two men who build a home, one on the sand and one who builds it on a foundation of rock. Either or, where are you? Because a relationship with Jesus Christ is either all in, is what he's saying, or it is nothing. If I want to come to Jesus, as I came to Lori on my wedding day, and to say, Jesus Christ, I want to commit my life to you. I want you to be my Lord and Savior. As I said to Lori, I want you to be my wife. Jesus says, you need to come with 100% commitment to me. I am not satisfied with, my heavenly Father is not satisfied with a part-time commitment. You must do, as Jesus says in the verse that I read, verse 21, if you want to look at it again, you must do the will of my Father in heaven. And what is the will of Jesus' Father in heaven? We say it a lot. The greatest commandment, the greatest statement of the will of God, that Jesus says, you know, in a sense it summarizes everything else that God wants for you. Love the Lord your God with all. All your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. Jesus is referring to people in these verses who do not love God in that way. With all that is within them. They have not made a commitment to him. Oh, they may be able to speak some of the religious language, Lord, Lord. But are they speaking from their heart? Are they speaking from a true commitment? Or do they think it kind of works like the magic words in Alibaba and the 40 Thieves, open sesame, you know, just come some kind of little magical language that'll get you into heaven. Jesus said, it's not going to work. Well, what about all of my good deeds? Jesus, I did them for you. Jesus knows they didn't. He knows it was just a mask. He knows that they perhaps thought that they said, I do, on that wedding day, but they didn't hold to it. Their commitment wasn't lived out to him. Something else or someone else came along, and they got more interested in that than in their relationship with Jesus Christ. Scripture calls it other gods. I think that's hard for us to pick up on because we think of, you know, little statues and weird-looking things, and, you know, we're way too sophisticated and intellectual for that, and we totally miss the point. The other gods are anything that we substitute for Jesus. And I think you would say to me, Steve, you're not a very good husband. You're not very committed to Lori if I find someone else to substitute for her, to give my commitment to give my love to even dabble with a little bit, to even kind of fantasize about. Remember earlier in the Sermon on the Mount when Jesus talks about that? Not very comfortable. Now let me interject something important here. Jesus is not speaking of perfection. He's speaking of commitment. Lori's right over here. I don't want you to ask her this question, but just theoretically, you could ask her, has Steve been a perfect husband for almost 43 years now, come August? And the honest answer would be not even close. But is Steve a committed husband? I pray the answer is yes, he is. Commitment does not mean perfection, either in a relationship between a husband or a wife, or relationship between a person and God. Jesus is not speaking here about perfection. He's speaking about intentionality, commitment. How do I live in a day-to-day, practical way my commitment to Lori as my wife? A part of what makes the relationship work is that I know things about her, even if she knows things about me. It's kind of like I know what makes her tick. I know what pleases her. I know what's important to her. Because we're in a committed relationship. And I care about those things because I love her. I don't simply say, oh, that's important to Lori. Well, too bad. I hope she finds someone who can help her with that. I'm her husband. It's my job. Not just to know it, but then to do something about it, to be engaged in it. And so this morning, after we got up, I gave her a Mother's Day card. She's not my mother. I gave her a Mother's Day card because I knew it would please her. Because I know this is important day to her. I have every confidence that her three sons will be in touch with her today. Some of them were even before I left for church this morning. And in that card, I said, you're a wonderful mother. You're an amazing grandmother. I praised her. I lifted her up. Not because she neurotically needs that in some sense, but because of who she is, and what I know being a mother and a grandmother means to her, what family means to her. And so I can express my love and care for her in a very direct way because I know her. And I choose to do those things, at least when I'm living my better self as a good husband. I choose to do those things that are pleasing to her because I love her. Because I'm grateful for her. Because I'm committed to her. Not just because 43 some years ago I said I do. That day has hardly any impact at all on what I do today. I don't do it out of a duty to that day. I do it because she's right there with me every day for 43 years. And so when I think about my relationship with God, Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, His Son, and by the Holy Spirit who He has given me and who lives within me, should I really be any less committed to Him than I am to Lori? Talking about having other gods before me. My commitment to my Heavenly Father, my commitment to Jesus Christ and my relationship with them needs to be in a similar way as my relationship with Lori, is as that relationship grows and as I get to know God, and God already knows me, but I'm getting to know Him. I'm learning what pleases Him. And if I'm not sure, it's right in here. He has revealed Himself to us. And by His Holy Spirit, He helps us to understand who He is and what He desires of us. So when He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, and you go, how am I supposed to do that? He said, read the book. I didn't get a book on Lori when I married her, but that's because we're two human beings. We can learn about each other. But God's not a human being that I can get to know like I got to know Lori. But we have the book. We have Him revealing Himself to us. And so for those people who say, I'll pay some lip service to Jesus, I'll say, Lord, Lord, I'll do some nice things every now and then to show that I'm kind of a Jesus kind of person. But I am not fully committed. I'm not all in. My heart is not truly given to Him because I have other things that are taking my attention and my focus. That's what Jesus is talking about here. You never entered in, He is saying to these people, into a complete relationship with Me. Maybe you thought you were fooling Me, but you can't fool Me. And so I was thinking about this, you know, husbands and wives, they can't fool each other for long. I've done enough weddings. There's a lot of sparkly eyes. There's a lot of goofy grins. But then comes reality, and it comes pretty quickly for most people. And the question is, what are you going to do now? You're going to go find that tux again? Are you going to go put on your wedding dress? Or are you going to love this person? With that 1 Corinthians 13 kind of love, that's going to show whether there's a commitment there, whether what you said on your wedding day really matters, or whether you just think marriage is a continuation of a 50-50 dating relationship, and as long as you please Me where I want to be pleased, then I'll keep hanging out with you. But maybe if I find out someone else who pleases Me more, well, I may need to switch it up. Where is my heart? Is it fully committed to Jesus Christ? On Judgment Day, those terrible words will be spoken. I never knew you. But today is not Judgment Day. It has not yet arrived. Therefore, each person here has an opportunity to ask themselves, where is my commitment to Jesus Christ? Is there something that I need to do? Is there a kind of person that I need to be? Is there a commitment I need to make to be more all in with Jesus Christ? I maybe believe He is who He says He is. Maybe believe the Bible stories. But do I really trust Him? Am I committed to Him with all my heart? And it seems like from what Jesus says here and what He says in many other places, you know, the trouble we get into is, well, what else must I do? People come to Jesus and say, what must I do to have eternal life? And Jesus makes it very clear time after time after time, it's not what you must do. You mustn't say, Lord, Lord, like, Lord, Lord, Lord. Okay, I'll say it three times instead of two. Instead of casting out demons and doing all these other things He mentions, I'll do more. Is that enough? No, that's the whole point. It's not about what we do outwardly, it's about who we are inwardly. And that's for me the illustration of marriage. And there are other illustrations that work very well. But the issue is one of commitment. Is Jesus most important to me? Am I spending time getting to know Him? And as I get to know Him, am I willing to do those things which please Him? Because He asked me to do them. And I know they're the right things to do. It's a way that I love Him with all my heart. See, people say, I want to be a Christian, but I'm not really interested in spending that much time in here. I think I'm a Christian, but, you know, God asked me to do some hard things, and I'd rather not. Again, your Christianity, whether Jesus knows you, is not based on what you do, but what you do reflects your character, reflects who you are. It is what Jesus says in just the verses. I didn't read them, but you can read them if you'd like, or maybe you did this week. What kind of fruit is your life producing? Is it half-hearted? Or is it fully engaged, at least in its intentionality, for Jesus? Remember, not perfect, not 100% in terms of the outcome, but in terms of the intention, I'm all in. Jesus says, in order to have a relationship with me, you must trust me. You must trust that I am the very best thing for you. There's nothing else out there to put your trust in like you trust in me. And if you trust me, then you can also trust. Since I've already shown that I'm all in with you, if you're all in with me, then on that day, you will not hear those haunting words from this passage, but you will hear words from another teaching of Jesus. Well done, good and faithful servant. For that is Jesus' promise to each one of us who by faith commit ourselves wholeheartedly to Him. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this word. Again, very hard word. Almost sounds harsh to our ears because isn't Jesus always speaking about love and grace and mercy? Certainly, He does. But He also speaks of the reality of those who say with one part of their mouth, I belong to Jesus. But with another part of their mouth, they say, but these things of the world are really appealing to me. Maybe Jesus gets 50% and I get to do 50% of what I want. Whatever it may be. It's not that you don't know us because we have not done everything right. It is you don't know us because we have not fully committed to the relationship. You were the first one to come to us, if you will, and say, Steve, will you marry me? Scripture says Jesus is like the bridegroom and each one of us is like the bride. And you have come to us. You've invited us into a relationship with you. And as I think about that wedding day, so to speak, I might be saying, well, you know, Jesus, I think I'd like to hang around with you a little bit and maybe do a few of the things you ask. But, you know, there are other things in my life that are really important and other people that I want to dedicate myself to. And you surely can't ask for everything. And Jesus says, I'm sorry then. We can't be in a relationship. If you're not willing to know me in that way, then I cannot know you. So Heavenly Father, each one of us here needs to ask ourselves, where are we? We need to trust your word. There's only one of two possibilities. There's only one narrow way and one wide way. Where are we? What kind of tree are we? What kind of builder are we? And these other passages that surround the few verses we read this morning. These are not easy things, Lord. These are not things that are just quickly taken care of through a Sunday morning message. But Lord, if these are words, if these are thoughts that are meaningful to us, maybe even that are disturbing to us, that we're spending some more time, some more prayer, some more engagement with Scripture, a return to your word, and perhaps a renewed kind of prayer of saying, Lord, maybe I haven't thought about it this way in a long time. But I do want to love you with all my heart. Help me to do that. For I want to know you in the way that you're talking about here. I want to spend eternity with you. Help me to know that by trusting you completely, wholeheartedly, I can trust that I will be with you forever. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.